Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have our Lord and Savior here in our midst. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. Thank you, Jason, for those songs and for all the testimonies. Thank you, Lyle, for reading those lyrics of Revive Us Again. And we do need revival. 2 Kings chapter 13, just be reading a few verses of Scripture, and I'll give you the short thought that the Lord has impressed me, and then we'll sit down and go eat some lunch. 2 Kings chapter 13. Second Kings chapter 13, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now Elijah was fallen sick, and his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Verse number 20. And Elijah died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass as they were burying a man that, behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. And when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elijah. He revived and stood up on his feet. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you. Thank you, Father, we can come to the house of prayer knowing that you're able to help in our time of need. Lord, I pray, God, that you would hear our prayers and our desires, Father, this morning. We're a needy people, God, and I pray that you'd meet every need this morning according to your riches and your glory by your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, there may be some in here this morning that is in need of salvation, that are spiritually sick. Maybe some that are hurting physically. Father, there may be some that are hurting mentally, Father, but you know every need, and I pray, God, that you would help and you'd comfort. And, Father, most importantly, we could be obedient to you this morning. Do as you call and do as you plead. And, Father, we'll thank you for all you accomplish in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elijah, in our text, had fallen sick. A sickness we don't know about, we just know that he has died. And we find that it's almost as it was a shock. It was a great surprise. It was unusual. It was stunning that this man of God had passed away. You remember Elijah was his predecessor. He had a double portion. He had the double of miracles performed in his life. He was double the works that Elijah had performed. And you know, we see how he raised the dead and how God used him in a great and mighty way through his life and through his ministry. His mentor, Elijah, had not passed away. You know the story, the account that he went into heaven miraculously. He was caught up in that whirlwind, the chariot of fire, and God spared him. He was caught up into heaven. But now, Elisha has passed away. We're not told how old he was. We're not told how he passed away or the exact cause, but all we know in verse number 14, it was due to a sickness, and now he's dead. I was thinking just a few moments ago there on the front row that this is a picture of all of us this morning. All of us this morning will face death or will be caught up into heaven. This is a picture of the children of God. Those that have gone before us and those that have went by the chilly waters of the grave and walked through the valley of the shadow of death as Elisha has. But many of us, maybe all of us, before this very service was over or before we pillar our head tonight, we may be caught up into heaven. It's a picture of how we're going to leave this earth. We find here that Elijah is caught up into glory. And if God tarries, if God tarries his coming, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But if he chooses, We could hear that sound, that trumpet, this very hour. And the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. One man in our text passes away, goes by the grave, faces that valley of the shadow of death, but one man is called up into heaven. Elijah and Elijah are pictures, are symbols, they're types of how you and I will leave this earth. Our Bible, history itself, it proves that there was nations that God has raised and nations that God has set down. We know that nations with the greatest armies, we know armies with the greatest defenses and with the greatest numbers. We know generals and lieutenants with the greatest skill and knowledge so often and many times lose battles and wars. You'd think the human power and the human element and the strategy and the strength of nations and armies would be the difference. But we find in our text that it's not that's true. The Bible states that some trust in chariots. The Bible says some in horses, but remember the name of our Lord, our God. Our text says that Elijah was buried. He had passed away. He died. And notice when the enemy comes in verse number 20. Verse 20, the Bible says, and Elijah died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land. As soon as the man of God, as soon as the prophet, the preacher, God's chosen man is passed away, he's gone by the way of the grave, we notice that the enemy comes in. It's as if God is holding off judgment. He's holding off judgment of the land because of a few righteous people. You know, I think that's still true today. God was going to judge that wicked city, Sodom. And God told Abraham, if you can find 50, no 40, no 30, no 20, no just 10 righteous men, I will hold my judgment. For 242 years, God, I believe, has held his judgment from this great land. It's not been our finances or our influence, our strength or our military might, our power, but it's been, I believe, a few righteous people here in this great land that God has stayed his hand and stayed judgment because there's a few righteous people. Not by might, nor by spirit, or by power, but by spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's true in churches. It's true in our families. And it's true in our individual lives. When righteousness is gone, when the man of God, that symbol of God's power and God's touch and God's anointing, is passed away, as it leaves, as holiness is nowhere to be found, the Moabites, the enemies, our enemies, will begin to creep in. Verse 21, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. Elijah has died. He's buried. These Moabites, the enemy, has invaded the land, and now we find that they're burying another individual. They're carrying him to place him into a sepulcher, to place him into a tomb. And we notice here we're introduced to another individual. We don't know his name. We don't know his age. We don't know how he died. But as he's being carried to this funeral to be placed into a tomb, it's as if the pallbearers per se sees a band, it sees a company, the word is troop of a small enemies, and they were afraid, they begin to fear, and the Bible says they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elijah. They were carrying this man, no doubt faithful to him, to bury him, and they got their eyes off the purpose and they seen the enemy, and it's as if they cast. It's the word to throw or to hurl or to toss. There was no respect. They were more afraid of the enemy, and they just throw this man into the first sepulcher, first tomb that they can find. We see the story as he's placed, as he's being cast into this tomb, this random grave. He's thrown into this grave. And the Bible says in verse number 21, and when the man was let down, he touched the bones of Elijah, he revived. I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes this morning. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. We see this man and touch the bones of Elijah. He once was alive. This man once could feel. This man once could speak. This man once could hear. This man once could love and give compassion. But now he's dead and now he's lifeless. He's cold. He can't feel anymore. He can't hear anymore. And it's his life. There's nothing left within himself. There's no power and there's no life in this man. But as he's cast, as he's thrown into this tomb, he touches the bones of the man of God, and the Bible says he revived. It's the word to live. But not only to live, the word revive is to live prosperously. This man was no longer dead. He was no longer inconceivable with power and life, but now he's living prosperously. I wonder this morning, how many under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary or by the way of internet, you're just like this man. It's as if we once were alive, that we once could pray to God. We once could hear God speak. We once could feel the love and the compassion. We once knew the excitement of having our sins forgiven. But now, like this man, we're dead, we're cold, and lifeless. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. The miracle, it's only mentioned in this one verse in your entire Bible. There's not much spoken about this miracle. This miracle, it doesn't give in detail. It doesn't say all the details surrounding, and it's as if it abruptly ends. The Bible says he touched the bones of Elijah. He revived and stood up on his feet. That's it. Nothing else, no other record of this miracle. So what is our text teaching us? What is it telling us this morning about being touched one more time and being revived and living prosperously? I notice in our text, I don't think it was the power of Elijah's bones. It's not the power, but it was of the Lord. You see, Elijah no longer could pray for this man. Elijah no longer could touch or heal or perform a miracle in this man's life. But God worked this miracle using the bones of Elijah simply as a means to do so. This morning, you and I, we have nothing to do with the power of God in our lives. All we are is vessels that God can choose to fill, he can choose to flow through, or he can choose to use. We find that we need to be touched again. We find in this text that just like this dead man, we need to be revived. I'll give you three things and I'll sit down. You say, preacher, why do I need to be touched again? Why do we need to be revived? I see number one, touch me again, Lord, because I'm distracted. I'm distracted. Notice this group of men. They were burying this dead man. They were taking him to a tomb with a purpose, with a plan. They were loyal to him. They were going to bury him. But notice they begin to focus on the Moabites. They begin to focus on the band of enemies. They begin to focus on the things that surround them instead of their task at hand. They begin to focus, I put my notes, on circumstances, on problems, on situations, on all the dark valleys that we're walking through. You'll find in verse number 19 that Elijah told King Joash, he said, Joash, that you will defeat the enemy. But he had the promises of God. Israel was going to defeat the Moabites. They were going to defeat the Syrians. But one verse later, they were running in fear over a small band of the enemy. Touch me again, Lord, because I've been distracted. When we begin to look at our surroundings, when we begin to look at our problems and our situations, when we begin to dwell on our things that we're facing or dwell and worry about and fret on the outcome, we'll get distracted from focusing on our Lord and Savior. Distracted from God. Distracted from the cross. Distracted from our Lord. Distracted from the one that can help us or the one that can comfort us or our dearest friend. Distracted. I began to think about Psalms 1:21, when the Bible says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I wonder this morning, what are we focusing on? What are we putting our faith in? What are we seeing in our surrounding lives? We're distracted. Brother Randy sings the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We're distracted this morning. I believe we're focused on the wrong thing. I believe we're focused on the situations and the outcomes and the problems instead of focusing on Jesus Christ. A 15-year-old young man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon found himself on a cold, wintry night in a primitive Methodist church. The minister, the preacher, could not make it to the church because of the snowstorm, and a layman with very little education stood up and read Isaiah 45:22, and the Bible says, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Charles Spurgeon, under conviction, said all he did was look to his Savior. Look to Christ and call upon his name, and was saved through God's amazing grace. We're distracted this morning. I think we need to start looking to the cross, looking to our Savior, looking to what he's done for us in the past, and trusting he can do it again. Touch me again, Lord, because we're distracted. I see number two, touch me again, Lord, because we're discouraged. We're discouraged. Verse 14. Read with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, Now Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Joash. The king, this king that began to reign when he was 7 years old, began to weep. He was discouraged. He was defeated. He was in doubt. We find outside of Christ in our Bible that no man outside of Jesus Christ performed more miracles than Elijah. Can you imagine the discouragement the nation was feeling? Can you imagine the grief and the sorrow that they were going through? The hurt and the pain? The prophet, the preacher, the man of God, the one that God is blessing the nation because of him, is now dying. He's dead. He's buried. What discouragement that must have been. It happens to all of us. The greatest of Christians, we all get discouraged. We all get defeated. We all get in doubt. I began to think about John the Baptist, who the Bible says there's not a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. You know the story? He was a prophet of the Old Testament, about one to come, and he was a preacher of the New Testament, about the Messiah is here. We find that John the Baptist, he was baptizing our Lord and Savior. He had the very Son of God in his hands. He baptized our Savior, our Lord, and God the Father spoke, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit of the Holy Ghost descends upon a dove. In that very moment, John the Baptist experienced the Trinity. He had the Son of God, God the Father speaking and witnessing the Holy Ghost. But just a few short verses later, we find John the Baptist, who's in prison, fixed to be beheaded, and he tells his disciples in Luke 7:19, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus saying, Art thou he that should come, or we look for another? He was discouraged. One of the greatest preachers, the greatest Christians to ever live, is discouraged. He found himself in prison. The very thing that broke him and shook his faith and shook him to the core, he sends his disciples, says, Go ask Jesus if he's truly the one. Go ask Christ if he's truly the Savior, if he's truly the Messiah, or do we even look for another? Can you imagine his discouragement and those disciples? Imagine if our pastor, who has been pastoring for 30 or 35 years, stood up this morning and said, God's been faithful to me, but I really don't know if he's the one. Could you imagine the discouragement, the doubt that it would cause? We find we need touched again because of discouragement. We all get discouraged. Those problems, Sister Gail, you've been such an inspiration to me. Cancer and battling cancer and cancer and battling cancer. But yet she still raises her hands saying, God's been good to me. We all get discouraged. We all will face those very things that will shake us to the core. We need touched again because of discouragement. I see number three, touch me again, Lord, because of distractions. Touch me again, Lord, because of discouragement. Touch me again, Lord, because we've been deceived. Israel, they were lulled, they were rocked into a state of easement. The man of God was on the scene. The man of God, Elijah and Elisha, they have been prophesying. God had been blessing the nation. God had been protecting the nation. God had been good to the nation because of these two men of God. It's like everything was going okay, but now they're off the scene. Who is going to stand up and take that mantle? They have been deceived. Everything was okay. Everything was good, but now the man of God is gone. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelations chapter 3. Revelations chapter number 3. We need touch this morning. We need revive this week because we've been deceived. The man of God was alive. Miracles were being performed. God had been blessing Israel. God was good to Israel. God had protected Israel. It seems like all was well. They had need of nothing. Everything was okay. The man of God is alive. He's been in tune with God. The touch of God, the approval of God was on the nation. But now he has died. Revelations chapter 3, verse number 15. Christ is writing to the church of Laodicea in verse number 15. He tells this church, maybe he's telling you and I this morning, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would work cold or hot. And then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and naked and blind. Verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. It's almost as if our text this morning is a picture of our modern day churches and our modern day families. It seems to me that this morning we have all that we need. We have beautiful furnishings. We have all the people. We have great talent. We have all the resources. We have all the finances. But it's as if God is wanting to touch us. He wants to come with us and give us more, but he's outside wanting to come in. See, I believe so many times we're deceived by the very blessings that God has blessed us with. We need touched again. We need revived again. Touch me again, Lord. We need to be touched because we've been deceived. Touch me again, Lord, because we're distracted. Touch me again, Lord, because we're discouraged. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. Let your mantle fall from on high. Wherever I'm going, you've already been. So I ask you to touch me again. Touch me again, Lord. I need your power. I need your strength, Lord, in these trying hours. You said if I ask, I'd surely receive. So touch me again, Lord. That's what we need. We need his touch this morning. We have revival this week. Brother Darren, the man of God, is going to come and share the word of God to us. But I believe just like this man, if we can just be touched by God, we'll be revived. I'm going to ask you to stand. That's the thought the Lord's laid on my heart. Misty, do you know that song? If you'll come and sing that song, Touch Me Again. Be obedient to the Lord this morning. Are you discouraged? Have you been distracted? Have we been deceived? We need God. We need His touch. Touch me again. Father, we want to thank you for this hour. We want to thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give us the desire, Father, to long to be revived. And Lord, I pray that you let us see our need of being touched by a thrice holy God. Lord, you're holy, you're righteous, you're true. And God, I pray this morning, Father, that one more time that you would touch us, that you would help us. God, you know the needs, and I pray, God, you would help. Father, most of all, I pray for the spiritual needs, those that are lost, those that are undone. Father, those that are on their way to hell, Lord, that you'd let them see their need of a Savior. God, be for those that are cold, those that are indifferent, those that are discouraged, those that have been distracted, and Father, those that are in doubt. I pray you would touch them again. Help them, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you, God, for all you do. Have your way this very moment, and we'll thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
For the message, for the power of God, the Word of God. surely we would all admit we need the touch of God. And we can have it. Thank you, Brother God. Thanks for the song service. Everything has been said and done this morning. Some are still on the altar. That's good. Time to pray. As you're leaving this morning, you're going to receive a copy of the ballot that will be passed out. This is a sample. And there is one thing in there. Miss Gail was on the committee, was going to be on the committee. Her name was Miss Gail Wilkie for the new planned fellowship building, but she got a bad report, and I knew it right in time, but the ballots already been printed. But next week, at her request, her name will be removed, and we'll have another name on there, and Miss Shirley Arrowwood. So they're going to pass them out. We're going to pray and seek God's face this morning. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your touch. God, remember so many times that you've touched us. And yet, Father, in the flesh, we do just get distracted, discouraged, and even deceived, as you told the church. In the book of Revelations, deceived, we have plenty and we have everything we need, seemingly. But without a touch of God, we don't have anything. We know that. We realize that. Help us, Father, to seek you. We thank you, Father, for all you're doing, for what you've done with us and for us this morning. But Father, we still aren't where we need to be. And that's why we're having a revival. So help us tonight to come. And help us, God, to be true to you, seek you while you can be found. Be with our nation, oh God. It's not only us that need to touch, but the people around us need to touch. Other churches need to touch. And God, I pray for our nation. Pray for the peace in Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, we love you. We bless you.